Go ahead and stand up with us this morning as we celebrate this new time change. Thanks. You guys did great, all you who made it.
Mic went, it died right in the middle of the operation, so here we are. I'm going to use this one for a second until it gets undead. We are so glad you're here. Welcome to Impact Christian Church. I'm Pastor Jeff, and whether you like it or don't, I hate this time change thing. You guys hate it? I hate losing an hour.
Old man brain.
We'll never get it back. They say we do, but it never feels like that. Anyway, we're really glad you're here. Let's pray. And then we're going to say hello to each other and a little holy fist bump, side hug, whatever you got in your arsenal. Let's do it. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We just thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made, and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for every person that's here. I pray to God today that through the band and through everything that goes on, that you would be magnified and glorified, because this service is not about us. It's about you. We love you and praise your name. Amen. Get out there and introduce yourself. Even if you don't know the folks, say hello.
I don't know. Probably me.
Better than you, there's nothing better.
there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
I'm not afraid
to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws.
Don't see them all and still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Amen. Sing it out with us.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Let's sing it again.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Sing it again.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff, the old man brain when it comes to daylight savings time. I think it took me a week last year to get used to it. And, you know, it seems like it's so easy to focus on our problems, you know. I tweaked my knee the other day, 2 days ago, in the recliner. If that tells you something right there. But, you know, most of my injuries have been weird. I remember back some back injuries. It was like reaching over in the oven, one time putting on some shorts. I mean, those are the worst ones, right? So how I did that in the recliner, that's a good story, but I'm sticking to it. But, you know, I don't want this to be a downer at all, but it seems like the older you get, it just seems like problems become bigger. You know, you have more people around you who have health issues, job issues. You know, I have a friend that's, you know, late 50s like me, and he's going through a job thing, and man, that's tough. You know, nobody wants to hire us as late 50 people, you know, and friends that have financial problems, you know, and trouble with their kids, and it's just, there's so many problems, and it's for young folks too, but it just seems the older I get, the bigger they become, and when I was younger, I was kind of more happy-go-lucky, you know, and things just kind of rolled off my back. But, you know, what we have to remember is these problems are not going to ever go away. And we have to deal with the problems, right? We can't just ignore them. But what we do is we have to keep our eyes on what really matters. And this time down here, with the good parts and the bad, it's going to be so short compared to eternity. You know, and we need to focus on that and be happy about that and do things here that are going to count in eternity. And just all that really matters is God. And we're going to sing this song called Your Great Name.
Thank you.
Worshiping, and I think it's just really a great time to just lift our voices to the Lord and just give him our burdens. We prayed vigorously. We had kind of a rough practice. We prayed that the Lord would just be made perfect in our weakness, and we are all weak, right? We've all got stuff we're going through. And so I just challenge you. I think this is our last song before ministry. You just lay it down. Just lay it down at the feet of Jesus. It's just not meant for you. He never asked us to carry that. When he died on the cross, he died with your sins and with mine. And his love just covers it all. And so I just encourage you to sing with us. This song is called It Is Well. And just, I don't know, just allow Jesus to take the things that you're just being stubborn about, because I think we all have that.
quake before. Move by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. In this mountain that's in front of me, will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on.
Seated. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for perfection of you. We thank you for our imperfection. We thank you for loving us despite it, Father. You are worthy to be praised. We love you and lift you up right now. Amen.
Good morning. Each week we come to this time as we share the Lord's Supper. Here at Impact Christian Church, we do this weekly, for as often as we do this, share in the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. We are encouraged to partake as believers in the Lord Jesus. You will find the communion elements on the tables in the front and back. There are also baskets available on the tables for your offerings, and you can give online. Please be generous. As most of you know, most of my life I was Roman Catholic. I always had a bit of roaming streak in my spirit, which is how Impact is now my church home. But there are traditions that I remember from my Catholic days. This past Wednesday was the beginning of what we called Lent. Lent is 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Holy Thursday, during which time we are to prepare for the greatest day in the church year, Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. 40 days is to remind us of the time our Lord spent in the wilderness, fasting and praying before beginning his public ministry. The period of Lent is a time of spiritual renewal and reflection through prayer, and often fasting from things we enjoy as a symbol of our dedication and strengthening of our faith. Most people think of Lent about self-denial, no candy, no beer, no fun, etc. But Lent is about so much more. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the Lenten season. Palm branches blessed on Palm Sunday of the previous year are burned, and ashes are placed on the foreheads of the faithful. Since Old Testament times, ashes have been a symbol of repentance. Imposing ashes on the forehead is an invitation to repent and become closer to God. As we present ourselves to the priest or lay minister, they make the sign of the cross on the forehead with ashes and remind us with these words, "Remember, man, remember, Rick, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." They may also add, "Repent and believe the good news," a reminder that we all have an expiration date stamped on our hearts, and today is the day to turn to God. During the period of Lent, many Catholics choose to give up a vice such as alcohol, smoking, junk food, or watching TV. This period is intended to bring us closer to God by commemorating Christ's time in the desert without access to many of the comforts of life. While we are encouraged to give up certain comforts, we are not told what to give up. Rather, it leaves it to each person's individual conscience. This way, it makes us personal on how we grow closer to God. Lent is about taking time to bulk up our spiritual lives. So Lent is a time for discipline, reflection, and spiritual growth. Does this sound familiar? Pastor Jeff just finished a series about bulking up our spiritual life. He talked about in week one, confession. Reflect on your life. Look for areas where you are weak. Confess to God. And if you need more direction, seek out a spiritual and trusted person to whom you can share these weaknesses. In James 5, it says to confess your sins one to another and pray for each other. Week two was simple prayers are the best. We don't need to be wordy in our prayers. They can be short and sincere. Just like God know what's on your mind. Week three was read and feed your soul. Set aside time to be in God's word. Week four was defeat your idols. Try to give up some online or TV time for spiritual time. Week five was Give, give, give. Give of yourself, give of your time, give of your talent or treasure. Volunteer, share personal gifts, give some of your treasures to help others. Week 6 was pray for others. And week 7, I think, was Bob's, silence. Get away from the distractions and be still and know God. We might go back, pick one of these messages, listen to it again, and put it into practice as we prepare for Easter, which is only 6 weeks away. Finally, to tie this into communion, on the night before Jesus died, Passover night, which we commemorate as Holy Thursday, he took bread in his hands, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, the third cup of Passover, which is called the cup of redemption, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is the institution of we now share as communion. So let us now take the next few weeks to prepare ourselves for a joyous Resurrection Sunday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look forward to Resurrection Day. We want to thank you for what your Son Jesus did for us on the cross. May we take the next few weeks through some self-discipline, prayer, and setting aside time to get closer to you so that we can more fully appreciate Jesus' resurrection. Amen.
I love it. I love it. We are so glad you're here. I'm Pastor Jeff, and I've been on vacation. I'm modeling for you. I'm punking on Bob. A couple weeks ago, he got up and he had a new coat. I have a new blazer here for you. Look, here it is. It's not new. The funny part is it's not new. It's been in my closet for about 10 years, and I lost about 10 pounds, so I'm able to get into it. So anyway, here we are. But Bob, I loved how he was modeling his new jacket for you. I like to punk on Bob, but he does an incredible job. A couple things I want to share with you. Can you hear me all right, everybody? I can't tell anymore. My ears are plugged up or something. I started out this morning. I got up. I prayed. Baby Juby, all my family's been staying at my house this week. It's kind of spring breakish for them. They've been doing different things, and it was really nice to have all the kids and grandkids there. It was just interesting. And well, Juby got sick, and they came down and put Juby on my chest, and she just threw up all over my chest. So that started my morning this morning, and I was reminded of what it means to be a parent, and I remember. Lots and lots of times the kids would make it into my side of the bed and throw up on me all the time. So, you know, it is what it is. And but I'm glad to be a granddad that has his kids around and the grandkids want to be around. It's a blessing. I want you to pray for Dennis and Helen Kress. She called me this morning, and if you know Dennis, they had not been here for a while. Dennis had Alzheimer's, and he has been put on hospice. And will be exiting the planet very soon. But he knows Jesus. He was a retired policeman, Indianapolis policeman. So just pray for Dennis and Helen as he makes this journey and this trip. That'll be very, very good for Helen because he was her world. He was her world. She was, you know what I mean. Let's pray. Jesus, it is good to be together. I love this family, and I know that they are learning to love each other, and we're loving finding out how to navigate this world that has been talked about this morning from Wade and from Kelsey and from all of us, just that things are hard. It is hard to be a person. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old, there is problems. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you have everything or you have nothing. It is sometimes hard, and you wonder, why, God, do you still have us here? And so I pray today that you would just meet us in these next few minutes. I pray that you would do a work in us and that you would use me and help me shut my mouth where it needs to be shut and open it where it needs to be open. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're getting ready for Easter, and as Rick said, and it's coming in about less than 40 days, and it's the countdown. It's the countdown, and I want to start the countdown talking the next two or three weeks about something that's very important and dear to my heart, and I'll introduce that here in just a minute. Then we're going to talk about getting ready for Easter. How do we do that? But I believe the next 3 weeks are going to be really important to help you get ready for getting ready for Easter. I talked to you for months, about 6 weeks, I think, two months, about your spiritual life. And so if your spiritual life isn't healthy, if your spiritual life isn't robust, and you're sitting here today barely grasping on fumes, I want to give you some reasons today why maybe that is. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus, you're going to struggle. If you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to struggle. If you're here today and there's things going on in your life and you don't understand them, God wants you to have an open heart and an open mind to what He wants to do in you today. So without any further ado, let's get right into it. I've called this series The Unseen Enemy, The Unseen Enemy. And today I'm going to talk about, is your life a battleground or is it a playground? Is it a battleground or is it a playground? And I'll suss that out here in just a second. How is your spiritual life doing? How's it doing? How are you and Jesus? Are you in a good place? Or are you ashamed? Are you here today and you're ashamed? If Jesus came and sat down right across from you, Are you sitting here going, I wouldn't want him to know that or see that, and I wouldn't want him to be a part of that? How is your spiritual life? So I want you to think about that as we get into this today, because I think a lot of what we're going to talk about will help you with that, in with that case. You ever get the sense that there is so much going around you, and you don't even know why it is? You don't even know what it is that's going on around you, but you feel it, you sense it, and most of it's not good. And you just feel an evil, you feel a darkness. You know, maybe you don't even call it evil, you just call it a darkness. And there's this darkness around you that just kind of has a shroud around you. And if you think about it too long, it can either hurt you or it can help you. If you ever get on a time where you start to really think about how dark this world is, it can take you down a strange path, but it can also help you. And so today I've come, and I have just basically two purposes. One is to ask you to remember, and to encourage you to be alert to this unseen enemy that is out there in whatever sphere you're playing, the battleground or the playground. Remember, this helped me bring up a story that I want to tell you. The story is about when I was about 24. I'd come back from college. I was at a little town called Brookville. I was at a little church called the Brookville Christian Church. And I was there, and I was so excited. I was working with kids. That's what I did all day long. All day long, I would go and I would work. I'd work at there was a high school right next door. I would go over there. I would be on, back then I could get on the campus. I could go to stuff. I could go to games. I became a coach. I did all the things that I could do to get into school. It was very cool. And so kids started coming to church. As they came to church, I would notice one by one that they were having problems. And so the first thing I would always do is I would pray for them. And I would say, you know, let's pray here and see what God wants you to do. And I'd been taught in college, that's what you need to do. One particular day, and I don't want to freak anybody out because I'm telling you things that are a little bit hard to understand or maybe even to believe. But this girl came down. I was in the basement. My office was in the basement. I'll never forget this. And her grandmother had brought her in, and she said, I heard that you're doing things with teenagers. Well, I said, like what? What do you mean? And she said, well, I heard you're helping teenagers. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm trying and see what God does. And so I said, well, first of all, before we start, can I pray for your daughter? And she said, yeah, but she's a mess. I said, okay, let's just pray. And I noticed that this girl had cuts on her hand, all over her wrist. And that was before it was popular. I mean, it didn't really become popular until about 10 years after that. And so as I'm viewing that, and I'm seeing little blood kind of trickle down, I'm like, this is going to be interesting. So I pray. And I said, as I always do when somebody's in my office, I said, can I pray for you? And I'll never forget what she said to me. Will not pray. And I'm like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. And I know you weren't either. And I'm like, can you excuse me a minute? So I went upstairs and I had another minister, a senior minister, and he'd been around for a long time. And I said, I need you to come down here and just be with me and hang out and pray with this girl. He came down and he started praying, and it wasn't a fascinating prayer, but he just pushed in and says, in the name of Jesus. He sat right there, and this girl, she started crying, and I thought, oh no, she's going to throw a fit. It's going to be a mess. And no, it wasn't. And she cried, and she just went from side to side, and pretty soon something happened in her, and her face changed. And her countenance, just everything, her countenance, it changed. And I'm like, what is going on? And so as I saw that, I then began to, and she received a lot of healing. And she, come to find out today, she has kids. I know her. She's still in Brookville. And she still follows Jesus. And I say that not to scare anybody, and I know some of you go, I don't believe that. Some of you do believe it. Some of you are like, that's weird. Why are you talking about that here today? It's because I think that a lot of us get in a place where we live our lives, and we're living it in this place where there's evil things all around, entities all around it. There are spiritual entities all around us. And they are there to trip us up. They're there to make our paths not straight. And they will do whatever they can to dissuade you from getting any kind of close to Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about this unseen enemy that most of us try to kind of put out of the realm of our life. We try to say, I may believe in it, but I'm not going to deal with that. I may think it's okay, it's in the Bible, and I see it happen in the Bible, but it doesn't happen today. To which most of us would say, if you have half of a spiritual brain, you would say, yeah, it does. It does. And it happens on a daily basis. So many people are being deceived. So many people are having the wool pulled over their eyes because of this unseen enemy. And so the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about this unseen enemy. And we're going to talk about what do we do? What do we do as Christians when we start to understand that we're really living in a battleground and we're not living in a playground? That life is not about that playground. See, life is all about perspective. And the perspective is, if you have this perspective of it is a battleground, then you live differently. You live expectantly. And if you live it as it's a playground, you'll live it a whole lot differently. And so I want you, if you got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6, chapter 6. Hold that. And while you're doing that, I want to talk to you just a little bit more. And we'll go down through this today. I believe that the enemy wants you to be distracted. I think he wants you to be distraught. I think he wants you to be overcome by your problems, whether you're old or young. He wants you to be nothing focused except on how you feel. So you're here today and you feel like crud. You're here today and you feel overwhelmed with the weight of the things that are coming on you. Jesus wants to give you victory today. He doesn't want you to live in that mess. The enemy loves nothing more for you to think that the purpose of life is just one big playground, when really you're on this battleground and you have to be ready for what's coming. And you have this awareness that you are under attack, that you're under attack and I'm under attack. We are not having a bad day. You're not having a bad week, a bad year, a bad month. You are under attack if you are a Christian. If you say, I'm a believer in Christ, if you say, I'm this person who considers myself to be a Jesus person. And the most dangerous way to live life is living on a battleground, and you treat it like a playground. Ephesians 5, I think this is going to come up on the screen. Ephesians 5 says this, listen, wake up, O sleeper, wake up. This is the Apostle Paul talking. You don't want to sleep through this lesson today. You don't want to be on your phone today through this lesson. You want to wake up. You need to wake up, church, because it's important. Some of you are asleep. And there's a battle going on for your family, for your kids, for your time, for your capacity, for your mind. There's a battle that wants to stop you, to halt you from moving forward. Ephesians 6:10 says this. It should come up there. Be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Finally, be strong and in his mighty power. That's a big place to stand here. Because I know some of you, when we talk about this, you're a little afraid. You're a little scared. And some of you may be going, I don't know if I even understand or believe that. He says, you must be strong and be strong in the Lord. Not in your own, not in what you do, but be strong in the Lord. Because you don't want to be asleep. You don't want to not notice what's going on. You want to be fully prepared because something is coming after you. And it is an entity that wants nothing more to do than to slow you down. Wants nothing more than you to feel like, why in the world are you even here? And a lot of you are struggling with this today. You're struggling with this because you have not taken this seriously. And so if you're here today and you're fighting certain battles and you're doing it on your own power and out of your own might, you know what? You're getting clobbered. You're getting clobbered. If you're here trying to fight this evil, this darkness on your own, you will be clobbered. I'm pausing because I just want to make sure that you're with me, because I care so much about you. And I want you to stop getting beat up so much. Most of you are coming in here so bruised. And you got little trickles of blood, you know, it's just seeping down your arms. And it's not good. It's not good. That's not the way Jesus intended for his people to live, to walk, to serve. The Bible says the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to you. Either believe that or stop saying you're a believer. Because if you say, I'm a believer in Jesus, I believe I've taken him as my Lord, my Savior, then you have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You say, well, why isn't all that stuff happening? Partly because of our faith and lack of it. Partly because we've got all kinds of stuff going on in our life. And maybe God is going, it's not time yet. I can't do that thing in you right now. Until you and me get right. And so today, that may be some of you, that your quest is to get right with Jesus so that you can help other people. And if you're trying to help other people and you're out there doing your thing and saying, oh, I love Jesus and I'm going to love people. And you know what? People are harsh and they're hard when you try to help them. They kick you. They spit at you. They do not like you. You're expecting a thank you or a pat on the back or somebody to say, oh, they're so wonderful. That ain't happening. That isn't happening. Because when you run into a war without using the right weapons, you're powerless. You're powerless, church. I came to remind you today that those of you that are in Christ, you have the power of Christ in and on you. It is time to begin to live like that. To live like it's so. And some of you, you've got all kinds of evidence in your life of things that Jesus, you know Jesus has told you to step aside and to get out of it and to step out into his light. But you continue on and you want a little bit of Jesus in my life and I want a little bit of this in my life. And it doesn't work like that. You will become very discouraged if you continue to live like that. Verse 11 says this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor. We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about how do you put on the full armor. Because a lot of you are fighting naked. You're fighting naked. Paul says, put it on. Put on the full armor of God and you will be able to stand. He doesn't ask you to fight. Listen, he doesn't ask you to fight. Nowhere does he say to slash and stab and burn and spit and kill and shoot. He just says, stand. Put on the armor. Stand. That's it. That's it. Verse 12. There's a battle being fought all around you. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where your battle is. Now, let me get personal here for a little bit. It's important that we do this. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Listen to me. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's an interesting word because there's a number of words that Paul could have used to describe this war that we're talking about, this unseen thing that's coming at us. But what he goes in, he says it's a wrestling word. Did you know that? I used to wrestle. I loved to wrestle. I was horrible at it, but I loved to wrestle. Well, I did go almost to the state one year. But anyway, I like to wrestle. I like to wrestle. It's hand to hand. It's close up. It's this kind of thing that you're doing this. It's close in. It comes at you right here. It's not lobbing missiles. He doesn't lob things at you. It's hand to hand right here. That's how the devil works. It's that wrestling word. For many of us in the United States, when we hear the word war, we think of things like, you know, the Ukraine thing. We think of things like Israel and Hamas getting shooting each other every day. We think about those wars, and we think about them for about 10 seconds. And then when some guy comes on TV with the president, and we think about it a little bit more, but pretty much the time we just kind of let it go. We don't pray for them. We don't pray for Israel. We don't pray that people have ever come to know Jesus because they're getting killed by the thousands. We'll gripe about it. So-and-so didn't do this, and so-and-so didn't do this, and this one didn't do this, and this, and we're fluid at that. We're fluid at saying this is what goes on, but we're not fluid at doing what God called us to do. Our battle is not against the Ukraine. It is not against the Israelites and the people there. It is not against flesh and blood. It is against the dark of this world. Our fight is close up. It's hand-to-hand combat. Now, I know some of you hear this word devil, and you kind of check out, nah, 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 that's not a thing. And I'm not, it's probably just, you know, a presence thing. But I got you. If you believe in Jesus, you got to believe in the devil. I know a lot of Christians who believe in Jesus that don't believe in the devil. How do you make that work? How do you do that? How can you say that I can believe in Jesus, but I can't believe in the devil? The Bible is so descriptive of him and his schemes all the time. It is descriptive. He is one of the people that was first kicked out of heaven, and his job is to torment you and to bring as many of you to the gates of hell that he possibly can, because he's mad he ain't going to heaven. The word devil means slander or accuser. I think I put that on there, guys. I don't know if I did or not. Satan means a slander, an accuser. That's what his job is, to slander your friend. They're not acting right. They don't treat you equally. You know, come on, leave you. Oh, they don't love you. You're not good enough. You know, some things happened to you. Somebody took advantage of you. You were a victim. You're not worth anything. He's a slanderer. He's the accuser. The kibosh on us and tries to tell us who we are and who we aren't. We tend to see problems that happen in our life as natural problems. We tend to see problems in our life as natural problems. We tend to think that if it's a natural problem, it has a natural solution. Let me explain this. And some of you are working in government, you can say amen to this. So, for example, we see the natural problem, at least we perceive it like, we say, well, you know, a lot of people are poor. So what do? Let's educate people. And so the government and lots of people throw lots of money at it. And are people still poor? Absolutely. Are people still homeless? Absolutely. Let's throw some more money on it. Let's throw some more. See, that's a natural solution. It's not an unnatural. It's not where Jesus works. It's not how Jesus works. Or take something like video games or violence. Let's say things like violence. It's so much violence in the past. There's been so many gun slayings and people shooting each other and killing each other. Well, take video games away from kids. Get them out of their hands. Let them stop playing the different things there. They shoot people all day long. And, take people's guns away. To which most of you in here would pull your gun out and say, not here. All right. But that's a natural solution. That's a natural solution. It's not normally the way we do things. See, here's what I want to say to you. The enemy continues to go back over his same plan every day. He has nothing. He does exactly what we think is the definition of insanity. He tries it over and over and over again, and he looks at that, and we say that's the definition of being stupid, of insanity. But you know what that's a definition of? It's a definition of the devil's going, that's pretty good odds, because when I get them when they're weak, when I get them when they're down, when I get them when they're not on looking at their master, that'll be the time. And he knows. He doesn't do anything. It's original. He has been doing it since day he got kicked out. The same thing. Over and over and over again, and yet we fall for it. Our real enemy loves nothing more than for us to go to battle against the wrong enemy. Paul says, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Like your enemy, you have an enemy, but your enemy is not your kid, that kid in school that has a different opinion than you do. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not somebody that you see on a daily basis, and they just infuriate the dickens out of you. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is not the political person across the aisle from you. Your enemy is not a social media person or a news station that doesn't say or says what you don't like or you do like. Your enemy is not against flesh and blood. How many times do I got to say that? I was visiting with a lady several years ago. I think it was right after COVID. And I'll tell you the honest, I'm just being honest. I went to visit her, and I was mad. I was really mad. And I'll tell you why I was mad. I was mad at her husband, because her husband left her. And he left her for no good reason, other than that somebody else popped up that seemed to be a better version of his wife. She just had a baby. I was so mad. And I went in to pray with her, and I was going in hot. I'm like, I'm here to pray for the anger and the bitterness you got, lady, and we're going to lay it out, and we're going to tell Jesus to get that anger and that bitterness out of your life. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. Is there anything? Or I said, can I pray for you? What is it you want me to pray? I always try to ask that, too. What do you want me to pray? What do you want me to say? She said this. Would you pray that he would understand his identity in Jesus? As she spoke about him, I didn't hear any bitterness. I heard just compassion. I started looking around. Is this real? Am I getting punked here? Is somebody in the church setting me up? I mean, what's going on? And so I asked her, I said, really, how do you do this? And she says, some days I struggle. But she said, most of the days, here's how I look at it. She says, I know that he's not the one that I need to battle against. My battle is against, is not against flesh and blood. Okay, Pastor, sit your butt down and lesson learned. Some people are getting it. When she said that, I thought, wow. But for the power of Jesus, some of us can start living like that when the horrible stuff that happens in our lives comes at us. And it's coming at you. If it's not here yet, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. When we get confused, what happens? When like me going in hot, when we get confused like that, you know what we do? The Bible calls that you're picking up the wrong weapon. You're picking up the wrong weapon, and it's your weapon. It's your weapon because you're taking up offense. It's because you're ticked off. It's because you haven't laid it at the feet of Christ. You haven't nailed it to the cross where Jesus said, I will take it. And you're still carrying it around. And Jesus said, I died to take that. Died to take that. When we pick up the wrong weapons, we fight in a bad. We respond with criticism and not compassion. We respond with rage and not with gentleness. And we go in with insults and not kindness. And so you feel. And yet some people are sitting here today and go, Jeff, that sounds kind of weak. It sounds kind of weak. And I tried doing that one time. Try responding when somebody's yelling at you in kindness. Coming back in kindness. Try a spouse that's left you and they act like a total jerk and they're with their other person and they're throwing things at you, bad things. And your response is, I want to cut some appendage off of their body. God says there's a different way. Put on the full armor of God so that when you're able to take your stand against the schemes of the devil. So you're able to take your schemes. Just about done. I got about four things and I'll close it up. Some of you are starting to sleep. Move it on. Move it on. What are the devil's schemes? Move it on. Here we go. Scheme number one. This is scheme of the enemy. Attack when you're vulnerable. Where are you vulnerable? You're vulnerable in those two areas, anger and pride. Anger and pride always get us. They always stick us in a hole that is hard to get out of. Ephesians 4 tells us, in your anger, do not sin. It is okay to be angry, but it is not okay to stay angry. Did you hear me? It is okay to be angry, but it is not okay to live in anger. How many of you have gotten in a huge fight just after you leave church and you just had a really good service and the worship was good and you know the pastor was okay and you get in the car and you're feeling, let's discuss this, and all of a sudden it's just a firefight. That's because that's what happens, is anger and pride are sitting there and they rear their ugly head. And they take us down places we never, ever want to be or we ever, ever want to go. So where are you vulnerable when it comes to anger? What kind of anger is in you that you notice it comes out the second you see that person, the second you see that situation? Where's those anger points that make you vulnerable to the attacks of the devil? And then what about pride? What about pride? The enemy loves to attack when he sees you as a person who's overconfident. I can't tell you how many times I put myself in a position and said this, that will never happen to me. That will never happen to me. When you say that, you're setting yourself up for a position where we think that we're stronger than we are. And the only thing that makes us strong is Jesus. It is not you. You have no strength. Your strength is like a wiener broken into. It just, there's nothing there. It just breaks the minute you give it a little attention. It is gone. It is gone. Your pride and your anger can take and just ruin your strength. your witness. It can ruin your day, and it can ruin and allow the devil access to you. Another scheme, I think we'll go to the next one. The scheme two would be to use distractions. Distractions are a big deal. Time and time again, I've seen people get really close to Jesus in this place. People have really dug in. They've really started to look what Jesus wants to do for their life, and all of a sudden, something happens. Sickness, doesn't take much. And all of a sudden, they miss a week of church, and nobody notices them, and they miss two. And then they stop reading the Bible, and they stop doing the things that they know they're supposed to do, and they just find themselves all by themselves. Time and time again, that happens to people. People's lives get so distracted. Our phones are the biggest distraction in our lives. I mean, how many times do you pick up your phone today? Just try to do that. See how many touches you do. There's an app that does that. It says how many times you touch your phone. I bet mine's 1,000. I know it's 1,000. Let me tell you this. I know in this church, the last 2 years, there's been people who will come to church, and they'll come, they'll be here for a little bit, because you all know each other, a lot of you know each other, and you're friends with each other, and you like each other, and some people come, and they're put off by some things, and so I talk to them as they leave, or as I have a meeting with them, and you know one of the things they get really ticked about? That a lot of people, not a lot, but some people are on their phone the whole service, and they go, they're watching TikToks, they're watching Reels. It's like, why are they even here? And I'm like, that's up between them and Jesus. I can't. But it becomes a distraction. It becomes a distraction for others. And it becomes a distraction for you. Because you miss things that God wants to do in your life. And a lot of you, if I ask how many of you had a Bible app on your phone, you would say, yeah, I do. I think I do somewhere. Where is it? And you go in there and you know, but you know right where Facebook is. You know right where TikTok is. You know right where, you know, whatever it is you use. There it is. But the Bible app has probably got, you know, today we don't have dust on it, but I bet it's got dust on it. I bet your Bible app's got some dust on it. Don't let distractions get you off course. Last two. Another scheme of the enemy is division, okay? And we all think things like this, that the devil's attacking me. And I mean, I know that the devil's attacking him, but I think what the devil's biggest scheme is to get us against each other. And I've seen that the last 2 years. Actually, I've seen that the last four, since Trump got in the first time, okay? Since Trump got in the first time, I'm not pro one or the other. I'm not. I'm not sitting here saying that. It's nothing to do. All I know is Trump's people are dividing against Biden's people, and Biden's people are dividing against Trump's people. And I know there's some right and wrong, and I know all that, but we have to be very careful that it doesn't divide us. Jesus said, I came to bring unity, and the only thing, I didn't say you couldn't discuss it, I didn't say you couldn't talk about it, but I'm saying be very careful that if you're doing that, you're doing it in a godly way, that you're not, and you're doing Jesus' work as much as you're doing the work of going for your guy. Okay? Be very, very careful about that. Be very careful. It's so important to understand that the devil wants to divide us. And he's doing the church. I've got friends I've talked to lately, and I cannot believe some of the things that are going on in churches. Churches are asking people to leave if they vote for this guy or they vote for that guy. Where does that come out? Where is that? I don't get it. I don't understand. The enemy is out there and he wants to attack you and he wants to attack me. It's so important. I see people getting picked off left and right. I know you do too. They're not realizing that we need each other. We need each other. I need you. You need me. You need each other. Because when you go through the things that you go through, you need somebody to come alongside of you. I think of all the people that have died in the last couple of years. Just because we come running when their spouses pass doesn't mean that they're not dealing with a lot of stuff still today. Who's looking out for that in the church? Who's coming alongside these people and saying, how are you? What can I do for you? Have you ever thought about that? Because I know we're all in our own pain. I know we're all in our own problems. But I understand, and you need to understand, that God gives you exactly what you need. He gave you all his power and all his strength, enough and more than you need to do you and to do other people in your life. Not everybody, but just the people he puts in your path. The enemy is going to lie. He's going to cheat. He's going to tell you, hey, you're all right. You don't need to listen to Jeff. You don't need to go to church all the time. You can just find God on the internet. You can find God online. You can find God by the creek. And that's right, but it's also a lie. Listen, it is also a lie. You can find God in those places, but it's a lie too, because the lie is God wants us to depend on each other. And so many people have left the church. Before COVID, our church was about close to 180 people. We're lucky to get 120 people in here right now. And that's coming back. I mean, we were down to about 40 or 50 there for a minute. And so I tell you that, just tell you that I'm talking to you from experience. People are walking away from the church. It's okay if they go to another church, but what if they don't go to another church? That's the people I have a problem with. Let's wrap it up. There's a battle going on. And if you're living your life like this is a playground, you know, that all week long you're living for the slide on the weekend. I'll do the swings, I'll run a little bit, and I'll have some fun, and I'll do frisbee golf, and I'll do all those things. The weekend I'm just going to slide. I came today to tell you that you need to start living your life like it's a battleground. That's it. That's it. Pretty simple message. Took me a minute to get there, but that's where I'm going. Let's pray as the band comes. God, I know that even right now, there are battles being fought in this place. I know there's some people that are struggling here, and they're struggling to find their place in this world. I know that there's some people here that want to be closer to you. I know there's some people here that want to wrap their arms around you, but they're a little bit scared. God, help them to realize it's scaredness, that fear is not from you, it's from the other guy. So I pray today that you would meet us, that you would do a work in us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Each week we call this time our ministry time. It's a time for you not to check your clock, not for you to think about what you're doing for lunch, but it's a time for you to examine your heart. Rick already got us started in that with communion. But right now it's a time for you to examine and say, Jesus, what do you want to do in my life? Maybe I need to live my life more like a battleground, like it's a battleground and not a playground. See what God does. And if you're here today and you need prayer, come down here. You can do it. We call this our altar. If you need prayer, come up here and see me in just a minute. We'll see what God does. I'm praying for you right now. Let's see what God can do. Please. Challenge is and was, start living your life like it's a battleground and start noticing, and when you see something, you call it out and say, in the name of Jesus, you leave me alone. Leave me alone. You have the power and the strength. Do not be fearful of it. Be strong in the Lord. He is mighty, and he will empower you to do whatever it is you need to do. And if you believe in Jesus, you need to believe in that. We're so glad that you listened today, that you were a part of this. I hope that if you were freaked out, you were freaked out, and God will do something in your life. By the way, those kinds of things happen all the time as a pastor. I've done that lots and lots of times since then. I've learned my lesson. Sometimes it goes well, and sometimes I wonder. But anyway, God is good, and he is good all the time. He's good when it's good, and he's good when it's bad.
Amen.
Right? All right, let's pray. Before I do that, if you're a visitor today, we have these little strange blue cards that say connect, and all that means is not we're going to come try to sell you a encyclopedia or anything. It means that we want you just to fill it out, and we'll text you and say, hi, glad you were here. They're back on the back tables, put them in a little glass case back there, and that'll really help us. And then we're going to watch this week's news. Jesus, you are good, and we are not. Jesus, you are strong, and we are weak. Jesus, you are all-knowing. And the older I get, the more I know that I don't know anything except you. And so I pray that there's folks in this place today that will leave the playground and will get acclimated to know that they're going to get attacked. And when they're attacked, they're ready. They're ready for it. And that they're not giving the devil any footholds in their lives. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. There is youth group tonight from 5:30 to 7:30, and make sure you wear green tonight. We just want to give a shout out to Gene Bryant for hosting our game night last night. It was such a good time. We are still in need of a couple people to join our AVS team. If that is you, please go see Rick Noling. If you're in the 55 and plus group, please make sure you get signed up to go on your trip to the Big Cat Rescue and the Pittman Inn Buffet. Pastor Jeff is going to be leading a six-week parenting group that is going to take place in April. So if you're interested, please go see him to get signed up, and childcare will be provided. Family and Kids Skate Night is going to be next Sunday right after service. So if you're interested in going or have questions, please go see Tiffany. It's that time of year where we're going to be taking donation for eggs and candy for Easter. So if you could, please see Tiffany with any questions. Well, ICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today here at Impact Christian Church. We're glad that you are part of our service. We invite you to come back next week as we headlong straight into this new year. What a joy it is to come into your house, your home, through this medium, and we're so thankful for that and for you. We ask if you can meet with us in person, come and join us as we do life together here at Impact each week. These are such uncertain times, the times of where people have so many questions and fear that just seems to go through all of our minds and our lives. And so we believe that the church is the answer. We believe the Bible is God's compass for us as a group and as people to say, follow us as we follow Jesus. So join us in that quest as we come together each week. God bless you. Have a great day.